It dies, or it disintegrates in a certain way, it germinates, it bursts its body, and it rises again. Marvelous. A whole picture of death, of burial, of death and resurrection. That's marvelous. So that new life comes forth literally from the burial, the death and resurrection of the seed. So the Lord Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a grain of seed. Maybe very small, small as a mustard seed if you like. But it's sown into the ground. It disappears from view. It's buried in there. It dies and it rises again in new life. And so in the same way, the Lord Jesus has died, buried, seems to have gone, finished. And he rises again to new life. That is wonderful. So we find that the whole teaching of God's kingdom is right there. And now what happens? When it rises again to new life, it produces a whole new batch of seeds. A whole new batch of seeds comes from that one seed. This is the whole teaching of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 12 and verse 24. He says, except the seed dies, it abides alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And so it brings forth a whole batch of new seeds through dying and rising again. In the same way, the Lord Jesus, through his dying and rising again, brings forth the church, brings forth us. Now what happens here is one seed goes into the ground and produces a whole batch of wheat, or new seeds, or whatever is sown. And that new batch is then sown again and produces another batch of harvest. And so it goes on and on. But notice another thing. The life that is in the new batch of seeds is the life that new seed derived from the first seed that died. Do you see? In the same way, we derive our life, the new life, from the Lord Jesus who died, and so passed on this new life to us. The life in the seed, the new seed, you know, the grain of wheat is simply seeds, that's all it is. When you have an ear of wheat, all the ear of wheat are simply a new batch of seeds. When you eat wheat, what are you eating? You are simply eating seeds. The wheat itself is a seed. If you don't eat it and you sow it in the ground, it will grow again and produce another batch of seeds. So you can choose to eat those seeds, or you can sow them. And what a farmer does is that he eats part of them and he sows another part of them. Every wheat is itself a seed. That's what it is. That's wonderful. And so it shows that we derive our new life from the resurrection life of Christ. We live because he died and rose again. You see, the whole biblical theology, the whole teaching of Scripture is there in that seed. But if we stop there, we have made a mistake. What happens to this new batch of seed? Does it get life from that first seed just so that it can sit there in the ear of wheat and enjoy itself and twiddle its thumbs? No. The new wheat is sown again and it in turn dies to produce fruit. Now you see, many people in teaching the gospel have stopped at the first point. We got new life through Christ's death and resurrection. That's true. But in turn, do you realize that we ourselves become a grain of seed, which in turn is to die and rise again? That part people don't understand. Now, if you look at John chapter 12, verse 24, and look at the next verse, John 12, 25, you will see that that refers to the Christians. The first part refers to the Lord Jesus. And then the next verse, verse 25, refers to Christians who are also to die and rise again. Now this comes out in the parables of the Lord Jesus in the same way. Look at the three parables of the seed and you'll see what I mean. If I take them backwards, it might become clearer to you. This parable of the mustard seed that is sown into the ground, that dies and rises again, what is the picture of it? Here, the mustard seed is representing Christ himself, is it not? For the kingdom of God is personified in himself. He is the kingdom of God. Here is not describing a situation inside the kingdom of God as such, but describing the growth of the kingdom itself. Here it is the Lord Jesus himself who dies, and through rising again, the kingdom of God becomes a reality in the world. But do you remember the previous parable, the parable of the wheat and the darnel? There we saw that the seed that is sown is what? Were the Christians. The seed that is sown were the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom, as we saw in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. And I hope by now you can see, the field is the world, and the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. In other words, when the Lord Jesus has given new life to us, this is the exciting teaching of the gospel, the exciting teaching of the Lord Jesus. When he has given new life to us, he sends us out into the world. The field is the world, where we, in our turn, become seeds. We die, and we rise again, bearing fruit to God. That's what the Lord Jesus says. That is why he says he was saying this very thing. Right after speaking about the seed in John chapter 12, 24, in John 12, 25, he says, if any man tries to save his life, he shall lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, he will have it. Now, many Christians cannot understand that. When you understand the Lord's teaching about the seed, you understand very easily. Unless you in your turn become a seed, unless you in your turn go out into the world and live for Christ, and die for Christ if necessary, you will not be able to have the fullness of his life. You will not have his life. If you try to save your life by not being dying, you will lose it. If you have a grain of wheat here and you put it there, nothing will happen. If you leave it long enough, it will mildew and die. But if you take this grain of wheat without waiting for it to get mildewed and perish or be eaten up by some insects or worms, and you drop it into the ground, it will bring forth life. This is so wonderful. And as we look backwards, still further to the parable of the sower, we saw that the seed was the word. So you notice that in each of the parables, the seed represents something different. The first parable, the seed is the word of God. This parable of the wheat and darnel, the seed, are the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom. And now this parable of the mustard seed, the seed is Christ himself. So the word of God is sown into my heart. We change the picture, as it were. And I become a son of God who is going to be sown into the world. Oh, this is marvelous. So many facets of God's riches and truth, and yet all summed up in this picture of the seed. Have you got the picture, or are you finding it difficult to follow? You just think through the picture of the seed. Now let's return to this picture, and let's continue to think about it. The seed is the Lord Jesus in this parable of the mustard seed that dies and brings forth a new crop. In this case, a crop of mustard seed, if you like. Now, the mustard seed derives its life, the new crop of mustard seed derives its life from the death and the resurrection of that first seed, that is Christ himself. But notice still further. Not only do we have the life of Christ in us, and this is very important for you to understand, a true Christian is somebody who has the life of Christ in him. Not just having the form of godliness, not just having good religious behavior, not just being nice and smiling at everybody, not just saying the right things, knowing how to pray the Lord's Prayer or even praying any kind of prayer, not just doing all these things externally, but having the life of Christ in you. Do you have the life of Christ in you? What is that life of Christ? It is the new resurrection life that the Holy Spirit creates in you. That's why you become a new creation. That's what it means to be a true Christian, not to be a darnel. But notice another thing. If you have this true life of Christ in you, notice what happens. Look at one seed and look at the other seed. What happens? that later seed, that new seed, looks like the original seed, isn't it? That's the beauty of it. The true Christian takes upon him, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in him, the beauty of Christ. He even becomes like Christ. If you are a true Christian, you will find yourself becoming more and more like Jesus in the way you think. As we saw at the communion today, we learn to think as he thought. He lived only for others. We learn to live for others and not for ourselves. We become like him in all our conduct as we go on, in holiness, in love, as the Spirit of God sheds abroad God's love into our hearts, as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. So that our conduct becomes more and more like him. Or as the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we are changed from glory to glory into his image. The true Christian takes on a likeness of Christ. He must have a certain beauty of Christ. That's very important. Are you a true Christian? Then the likeness of Christ should be manifest in your life. You become more and more like him. And once you understand this point, you understand why you can speak of sowing the sons of God into the world. We are Christ's representatives in the world. We are his body in the world. How is the world going to know Christ unless it sees Christ in us? A true seed bears resemblance to the original seed. Do you bear resemblance to Christ? Do I bear resemblance to Christ? Is the life of Christ powerfully working in me? Is my thinking being transformed so that my selfishness is being put away and I'm becoming more and more like him? Only then I know whether I'm a true wheat or not. Only then I know whether I am a true mustard seed or not. Whatever the picture you like, it's the same thing. This is the glorious truth of God's word. That's why I said right at the beginning, the whole of salvation teaching, the whole of gospel truth is summed up in this matter of the seed. And I would like you to ponder about it, think about it more carefully. There are still more riches in this parable, but our time is gone. And I should have closed there for today. So I'd like you just to bear in mind and ask yourself again this question. Am I truly a seed that has been born from that death and resurrection of the first seed, namely Christ himself? Is Christ's resurrection life in me? Am I becoming more like him in my thinking and in my ways? I know I have many faults and many shortcomings, but am I in the process of being changed, as Paul says, from one degree of glory to another? Maybe your degree of glory and my degree of glory showing forth the image of Christ is very limited at this stage. But at least we are moving forward, progressing, as the Holy Spirit conforms us to the image of Christ. This is a wonderful message that the Lord Jesus gives to us in these parables. It is a powerful message. It is a message of life and transformation. May God grant that each one of us knows the truth of it in our own experience. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.